Deuteronomy 19, verse 14. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. A landmark was either a man-made, man-placed object, or a prominent feature of the landscape that was used as a marker. They were used as markers for property lines. This is a good example of a landmark. When in Joshua's day, when the people went into the promised land and they divided up the land, if you go back and you read the description of the land, yes, they list all the cities that were in each inheritance, but they would usually point out, you know, the property of this tribe began at the sea and it goes over to this mountain and it goes down, you know, to this place where this city is, and then it goes over this way. And they would use landmarks to divide the inheritance that God had given them in the promised land. And so a property line is a good example of a landmark. And God told his people, now, when you set up these landmarks and they're used for borders, don't move them. Don't go move them. One of the things the Israelites did when they went into the promised land, if there wasn't a, even between the landmarks, they would plow a double furrow that would mark out the edge of their property. And that way they would know that they'd use that plow, those furrows as landmarks. And God said, don't move your landmarks. Don't move, and what he was saying is, don't move your property lines. He said in Deuteronomy, we read chapter 19, verse 14, but he says in chapter 27, verse 17, cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. God says, I'm going to curse the guy that moves the landmarks that his neighbor has set up to mark his property. In Proverbs 22, verse 28, the Bible says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. In Hosea chapter 5 and verse 10, the princes of Judah were like them that remove the bound or the landmark. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. So this thing of moving landmarks was a serious thing with God. If you moved it, he said, I'm going to curse you if you move these landmarks. And he says, if you move them, I'm going to pour out my wrath on you. Now, to understand why God is so serious about not moving landmarks, we need to understand the purposes that the landmarks served. So first of all, and it's obvious from what I said already, a landmark served as a boundary. It marked the edges of your property. Again, they used mountains, they used rivers, they used double furrows around the field. Today we use fences. Today we use stakes. Today we use the results of surveys. I mean, you can go out to the four corners of our property. It might take you a little while in one of them because I don't know that we've ever found the one over in this corner. But over here and over here and over here, I could take you and I could show you where the stakes are that mark out the border of our property. And so landmarks serve as boundaries. It's important that you know where your boundaries are for your property. I mean, you wouldn't want to start to build a barn or an outbuilding and get halfway through and find out that half of it was on your neighbor's land. It would cause you some problems. Either you'd have to make a quick purchase at a high price, or you'd have to start over, tear down whatever you were building and move it back on your property. So you need to know, and the landmarks help you do this as they serve as boundaries, to know what's yours. You need to know when you leave your property and get on somebody else's. They call that trespassing. And again, the boundaries help you know this is mine and this is somebody else's, and I need to leave somebody else's alone and stay with mine. There's an old saying that says, stay on your side of the line, don't cross over. Stay on your side of the wall, don't go moving the wall. So landmarks served as boundaries. They marked out your property, what was yours. They also served as reminders. Many of the landmarks in the Bible reminded you of something that God had done for his people. For example, in Genesis chapter 31, Jacob and his wives and children and all their animals were going back home. They were leaving Ur of the Chaldees. They were leaving his uncle Laban's home, and he was going back to his dad. He was going back to Isaac. I don't know if Rebekah was still alive at that point. The Bible doesn't mention her when he gets back. But Jacob was taking his family, and it was a big family. He had four wives and 12 kids and a bunch of animals, and he was going back home. And he didn't tell his Uncle Laban. And Uncle Laban didn't want him to leave. And somebody told Uncle Laban, hey, Jacob's taken off. He's taken all his wives, he's taken his kids, and he's leaving. And Uncle Laban caught up with him and chided him and said, why didn't you tell me you were leaving? I mean, I could tell my daughters goodbye. I could tell my grandchildren goodbye. He said, God told me not to speak evil to you last night before I met up with you because it's his will that you're going home. And so they met. Laban got to say goodbye to his daughters and got to say goodbye to his grandchildren. And the two put up a pile of stones. And they made an agreement that they wouldn't cross that pile of stones and going to each other to harm each other. And it was a reminder of the agreement that these two men made. And every time if they saw those pile of stones in the future, they were reminded of the agreement that they made. Another example is what God had Joshua do when they crossed the Jordan River coming into the Promised Land. You remember God was trying to magnify Joshua in the sight of the people. And he said, hey, I'm going to lead you over the Jordan River. Lead you over the Jordan River. I think my malady is affecting my mind. I'm going to lead you over the Jordan River. And I'm going to do it on dry ground. I'm going to do for you just what I did for Moses. I led Moses and the people of Israel over the Red Sea on dry ground. I'm going to lead you over the Jordan River on dry ground. And when I lead you, when everybody passes over, I want you to pick out 12 men and I want you to have them get a stone. Each one of them get a stone and you're going to take them and you're going to pile them up in the place where you're going to camp tonight. Now that place was Gilgal. And so they took 12 stones, each one for each of the tribes. And that night when they pitched camp at Gilgal, they piled up these stones. And forever, from that day forward, that pile of stones was a reminder of something that God had done for his people. It was a reminder of that he'd led them over the Jordan River on dry ground. And then, number three, these landmarks served as direction givers. They served as ways to know where you were and what direction you needed to go to get where you needed to go. For example, forever, sailors have used the North Star to chart their course. If they could get a fix on the North Star, they would know which direction they needed to go in order to get where they needed to go. So landmarks in the day of Deuteronomy served three purposes. They served as boundaries, they served as reminders, they served as direction givers. Now the basis of my message tonight is that the purpose of landmarks haven't changed. They still serve as boundaries. They still serve as reminders. They still serve as direction givers. So, for example, we still have property lines. Those property lines are marked by pegs. They're marked by stakes. And again, it serves as boundaries for us so that we know what's ours and so that we know when we step over our line and are trespassing on somebody's property. They serve as reminders. Many of you have headstones on the graves of your loved ones as a reminder of the love that you had for that person. That's a landmark. And I know some people that use the Citizens Bank Tower downtown as a landmark, that if you can see that, you know where you are and you need to know what direction that you're going. And I think that God's instructions to the Jews, when he says, don't move the landmarks apply today to three landmarks that I want to mention tonight. Three things that in our life serve as boundaries, serve as reminders, serve as direction givers, and we need to listen to God and heed when God says, don't mess around, don't move these landmarks. The first one I would mention to you tonight is the Bible. The Bible is a landmark. The Bible is a boundary. The Bible spells out boundaries for us. The Bible defines for us what's right and what's wrong. People today say, well, I don't want the Bible to do that. I want to do it myself. Well, that's fine, but you're not going to please God by defining what's right and what's wrong yourself. You need to look at His definitions. You need to look at what He's defined as right and wrong. And so I would submit to you tonight that the Bible is a landmark that sets boundaries. The Bible is a landmark that reminds us of some things about God. It reminds us how much God loves us. It reminds us of what Jesus did for us out of that love. It reminds us that He paid the price for our sins. It reminds us that we can be saved and have a home in heaven if we trust in Christ. And so it's a landmark that serves as a reminder. It's also a landmark that serves as a direction giver. I believe this book is the best help book in all the world. I believe this book will help us be what God wants us to be better than any book in the world. And so it gives us direction. So God says, don't mess with this landmark. Don't move it. The Bible's the Word of God, always has been, always will be. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. 1 Peter 1:25, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. Now, there have been various groups of people over the past 20 or 30 years spending time arguing about whether this book is the Word of God or not. I mean, they're still arguing about it today. If it's the Word of God, which I believe it is, by the way, leave it alone. Leave it alone. We're fighting each other about whether this is the Word of God, and people are dying and going to hell. We just need to agree that this is the Word of God. Preach the gospel that's in this book and see people saved. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I believe that this book does more than just contain the Word of God. I believe that this book does more than just contain the thoughts of God. I believe that this book, word for word, period for period, comma for comma, jot and tittle for jot and tittle, is exactly what God wants me to have. The Bible couldn't say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, unless we had a book that contained every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And by the way, I'm not going to spend much time on it, but I think you ought to stick to the King James Version of the Bible. There's a version that comes out every month, every so often. I'll just be honest with you, I don't have time to read them. And I don't read them. I haven't, and the only Bibles that I have purchased are King James Bible. It was the Bible that I got saved with in my pastor's study down in front of that red vinyl couch. It was the Bible that my grandmothers read to me. It was the Bible that my dad and uncle took into war with them. It was the Bible that I read to my kids. It's the Bible that I'm going to stick with until I die. If I stand up and I start preaching from another version, I want you guys to come up here, put a sheet over my head, and carry me out because I've gone stark raving mad. Don't move the Bible. Don't mess with the Bible. Number two, the second landmark that exists today that God says don't move is His church. His church. This is His church. This church ought to be a boundary. In this church, using this book, We ought to spell out boundaries that God wants us to stay in. I knew when I taught the Sunday school lesson this morning, there were going to be some people that didn't appreciate it. And some people that might take offense to it. Now, I've had two or three people come up to me and tell me that they appreciated the Sunday school lesson, that the Holy Spirit spoke to their heart. But I had some other people that were like Lydia this morning, that when I was teaching it, I could just look in their face and I said, they don't like this. Do you know what? I don't care. I don't care. I taught you the Bible this morning. I taught you what God said. It wasn't something I made up. It wasn't something that I thought up. I was just giving you the scripture as God taught it. You know, if coming to church sometimes ought to be like going to the dentist. It ought to be going like going to the doctor. If we don't step on your tie, on your toes, and your ties, but on your toes sometimes, then I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I mean, the Bible talked about preachers in the last days and says, well, they'll tickle your ears. They'll just tell you what you want to hear. Sorry, if you're looking for a preacher like that, you ain't got one. I ain't not telling you what you're going to hear. I don't know what you want to hear. I don't send out surveys on Friday night and say, what do you want to hear on Sunday? That's not where I get my messages. I get my messages from that book, and I get my messages from God. They come in different ways, but they don't come from any of you. I've had people suggest topics, and sometimes the Lord leads me to preach on that topic. But I don't have a little book that I have sermons in that say, well, this is a sermon for September the 15th, and this is a sermon for September the 22nd. I mean, the sermons come from God. I'm going to preach what God tells me. If you don't like it, that's between you and God. Don't get me in the middle of it. That's between you and God. And this church ought to set boundaries for your life. You ought to know, well, you know, when you get outside of those boundaries, you ought to know the place that God wants you to be, and you ought to know the place that He doesn't want you to be. You ought to know that. That's what a boundary does. This church using that book ought to remind you of how much God loves you. It ought to remind you of what He did for you out of that love when He sent Jesus Christ to die in your place. I hope you never get tired of hearing the gospel, because if you keep coming to this place, you're going to hear it week after week after week after week. I love to tell the story to those who know it best, for they seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And I'm so glad that God has given us a church like that. I never have one time had anybody tell me, quit preaching the gospel. I had a guy tell me one time, you know, he said, you ought to be an evangelist. I said, why is that? He said, well, because you always preach the gospel. I said, don't you think Christians need to hear the gospel? I think they need to. They need to be reminded of what God did to us. Like that story I told at the beginning of my message this morning. I don't want to ever get over my salvation. I don't care if I've heard it 130 times. I don't want to ever lose the awe and the wonder of what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary. And I don't want you to lose it. And so we ought to be reminded of it, of His love and what He did for us on that cross. And then this church, using that book, ought to be a direction giver. I mean, we ought to be able to help people to decide and determine what God wants them to do with their life, and help them get started down that road, accomplishing God's will in their life. So don't mess with the church. Don't mess with it. I mean, there's churches, they send out surveys. What kind of church should we be? What should we preach? What kind of programs? Man, God's already told us in this book what kind of church we ought to be. We don't need to ask ourselves. And then number three. Now, most of you, if I told you what I was going to preach tonight and gave you my theme, you could have come up and said, oh yeah, he's going to mention the Bible. He always mentions the Bible, not messing with the Bible. You would have come up with the church. He said, you would say, he always mentions the church, says not to mess with the church. This one may surprise you a little bit. If you haven't listened up to this point, listen now. You are somebody's landmark. You. You. You are somebody's landmark. Somebody is using you as a boundary. They're looking at your life. They're looking at what you do and what you don't do. And they're drawing boundaries around their life based on the boundaries you have drawn around yours. Your kids do that. They do. When they're little. When they're not so little. They still look to mom and dad and say, well, mom and dad's doing that. Mom and dad's staying within this line. They don't do these things. They do these things. And they're determined. Now, they may not always agree with you. But they know, they should know where you stand. They should know the boundaries that you've drawn in their life, in your life. They see those boundaries. And you're a landmark, not only to your children, you're a landmark to other people in your family. Maybe your brothers, maybe your sisters, maybe they're not as close to the Lord as you are. But they are looking at your life, and they are using the boundaries that you have in your life and you to determine the boundaries that they should have in their life. Don't move their landmark. Don't live half your life believing one thing and then for no reason at all change it and believe something else. Now, if you were wrong the first half of your life, I mean, if you had nothing to do with God the first half of your life and get saved, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Christians that halfway through their life decide that this book is no longer true, decide that this book no longer is relevant for today. And they get off into the ding weeds doing something else. Don't move the landmark. There are people that use you as a landmark to set the boundaries in their life. There are people that use you as a reminder of what God has done for them. I mean, they look at you and know how God has worked in your life and are reminded about how God has worked in their life. And so I say the same thing. Don't move their landmark. Don't remove their reminder. I mean, just don't do that. God said, don't do that. I'm going to curse you. God said, I'm going to pour out my wrath on you. This is serious stuff to God. Don't mess with his word. Don't mess with his church. Don't mess with you. You're somebody's landmark. Somebody is using you to draw the boundaries of their life. They're using you to be reminded of what God has done for them. They are using you as a direction giver. They are using your testimony. They are using your example to decide which direction they're going to go in their life. How much of their life they're going to give to God. How much of their life they're going to spend trusting him and serving him. Don't move the landmark. That's why God says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's why the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, be instant. And that Greek word for instant means to come to a spot and stand and don't move. Stand on that spot. Pick your spot and don't move. Don't lean. Don't wiggle. Just be instant because somebody is using you as a landmark to set the boundaries in their life, to be reminded of what God's done for them in their life, and to set the direction of their life. You're somebody's landmark. Don't move. Don't move. Don't mess with the Bible. Don't mess with the church. And don't mess with you. Because there are people, again, that are using you just like the nation of Israel used this river and used this mountain and used this pile of stones. They're using you just like that. And God says, don't move them. Don't move them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. Father, I pray again tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that Holy Spirit, you've been speaking to them the last few minutes, and you've reminded them that they are a sinner. They've fallen short of the glory of God, and there's a penalty for that sin, but that Jesus paid it. And if they'd come tonight and ask him, if they don't even have to come, they could ask him right where they sat. If they'd ask him, he'd save them. And so I pray, Father, if there's just one or two like that here tonight and is not saved, doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, right where they are, they just simply bow their head, lift their hearts to heaven, and say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know there's a penalty for that sin, and I deserve that penalty, but I believe you love me, and I believe you died on Calvary's cross for me. And right now, this very instant, I am asking you to be my Savior." I pray, Father, if there's just, again, one like that here tonight that's never asked Jesus to save them, that they do that right now. And in a second, they walk the aisle and tell us that they've done it so that we could rejoice with them. I pray for the Christians that are here tonight. Thank you for the landmarks that you've put in our life, for your word, for your church, for those people that you've put in our life that we use to set our boundaries, for those people you put in our life that serve as reminders of your goodness, for those people you've put in our life to help us set the direction. And Father, help us to realize that we're a landmark to somebody else, and we ought not to mess with it. Please bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient to what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.